The National Weather Service is anticipating a crippling winter storm for portions of the Mid-Atlantic. Snowfall is expected to reach 2 feet in some locations. Mayors in Maryland, North Carolina, and Virginia, as well as Washington, D.C., have declared states of emergency. They are bracing for heavy, heavy snowfall. Beginning early Saturday morning in our area, there's a blizzard watch. It's in effect for Long Island, for parts of New Jersey, and New York City. Nor'easter conditions are expected, with a possible 8 to 12 inches of snow. Northeast winds 25 to 35 miles per hour and temperatures in the lower 30s. Mayor Bill de Blasio says New York City is anticipating possible coastal flooding, but he says the city is prepared.
579 salt spreaders will be pre-deployed on Friday evening, and we have 303,000 tons of rock salt on hand. 1,650 sanitation department vehicles will be fitted with plows, and another 135 plows will be available from Department of Environmental Protection, Department of Transportation, Department of Parks.
The Long Island Railroad has modified schedules for storm recovery. It says frozen switches and the loss of third rail power are among potential challenges. Metro North says its experts will be checking to see if high winds or fallen tree branches are causing problems with the railroad's overhead wires. Attorney General Eric Schneiderman is warning against price gouging in advance of the storm. He sent out a consumer alert. It says general business law prohibits excessive increases in prices of essential goods and services during or after a severe weather event. This includes food, water, gas, generators, batteries, flashlights, salt, hotel lodging, transportation, and snow removal and contracts for storm-related damages. In other news, New York City's mayor delivered his $82.1 billion preliminary budget for fiscal year 2016 today. There was plenty of spending in the budget. He said that there's some good news for the city. It had a record of 58.3 million visitors this past year. The tourism sector continues to grow, and New York City's population has increased. Now it's close to 8.5 million people. Job growth has been unprecedented, says the mayor. 220,000 new jobs. Wages have also gone up since 2014. The city is becoming less reliant on Wall Street jobs and sees a 10% growth in the tech sector. Job growth is also in leisure and hospitality, healthcare, and professional and business services. But as the mayor shows, pointing to a chart, wage growth has primarily benefited the highest paid workers.
Even as we have economic growth, too many people are struggling to make ends meet. We talked about the eventual wage growth that we saw in 2014, but it took a long time, and we still haven't caught up to our pre-recession peak. And who's been benefiting from the wage growth? So here you have the top 20%. That's where the greatest benefit has been. In the next 20% as well. Here in the bottom 20%, almost no, and the 20 to 40, almost no improvement. So again, the skew is not being addressed sufficiently. And this, I remind you, this is affecting a lot of people doing everything the right way. They're working hard. They're creating jobs in many cases for our small businesses. They're innovating. They're doing everything they should do, but it's still very hard to make ends meet.
De Blasio says what he wants to see is a raise in the minimum wage to $15 an hour across the board, but meanwhile he's lifting the minimum wage to $15 for 50,000 city employees and contracted social service workers. De Blasio says his budget lifts families across the five boroughs through targeted investments, but there's worry from the governor and his state budget address last week. Many are concerned it saddled the city with $800 million in payments for Medicaid and CUNY.
We were surprised to see cuts of nearly $1 billion for the next fiscal year. That would have had a very negative impact on the city. The initially proposed cuts included $485 million from CUNY for fiscal 17, $209 million in state Medicaid payments in 2017, but that figure was going to grow consistently, and that Medicaid figure was going to go up over $1 billion by fiscal 21 or so. I was pleased when the governor clarified the following day that those proposals would instead be submitted to a collaborative process between the city and the state to identify reforms and efficiencies. Process we are happy to engage in. And the governor, it's obviously been well reported, said that these proposals would, quote, not cost the city a penny.
De Blasio says he will hold the governor to that. And he set out changes for New York City's public school students, 400 literacy coaches to raise the reading levels for second and third grade students, and an organized effort to bring middle school and high school students to college campuses for visits.
And it will help all of our young people to know that their futures can be bright and to show them a positive pathway. And big initiatives that will uplift our schools and certainly point all of our young people towards college and career. Algebra for all in middle school, advanced placement classes for all at high school level, for every high school, and the one I think unites so many of the pieces, computer science for all, which has had tremendous reception from parents and students and teachers alike. This will be integrated over the next few years in our school system. Every grade level will have computer science education integrated into its overall curriculum.
De Blasio's budget has funds to combat homelessness, to address mental health problems for healthcare, to end AIDS by 2030. Additional funds are allocated for the expansion of the city's pilot spot shooter program. It detects gunfire. And there's money for more security in the city's parks and an expansion of Vision Zero, which is aimed at improving traffic flow and safety. There's also more money for improving ambulance response times with 15 new ambulance tours in the Bronx, Western Queens, and Northern Manhattan. The mayor's budget of $82.1 billion now goes to the city council. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. The New York City Council is slated to introduce legislation aimed at handing out fairer punishments for minor offenses like littering and public urination. It's called the Criminal Justice Reform Act of 2016. Ben Max of Gotham Gazette has the details.
This is an effort that includes 8 new bills being introduced to the City Council, and they will have a public hearing on Monday at City Hall. They are being spearheaded by City Council Speaker Melissa Mark-Viverito, who, about a year ago in her State of the City address, announced her intentions to change the laws of New York City so that low-level, nonviolent offenses are punished by civil penalties rather than criminal penalties. Now, months of negotiations between the City Council and the de Blasio administration, which have featured Police Commissioner Bill Bratton and his deputies to a very large degree, as well as the Mayor's Office of Criminal Justice, have resulted in a bit of a compromise here. The laws of the city are likely to be changed so that certain low-level nonviolent offenses like having an open container of alcohol, littering, public urination, and other things related to violating park rules will now have hybrid laws where officers will use their discretion as dictated by NYPD policy in consultation with the City Council and the Mayor's Office and be able to send most low-level nonviolent offenders to the civil court system as opposed to the criminal court system. So in many cases where poor communities of color were being policed heavily under the broken windows policing strategy, many people were winding up with criminal records, criminal summonses, arrests for these low-level nonviolent offenses. Again, we're talking here not murder, not assault, not rape. We're talking nonviolent offenses. Now, Commissioner Bratton has built his career on the broken windows theory, which insists on strict enforcement of these low-level crimes in the theory that they prevent the larger level crimes. Now, there's not been data that shows direct causation between the two, but they certainly are correlated over decades where crime has been dropping. Mayor de Blasio has been a very strong backer of both Commissioner Bratton and the broken windows theory, which says that aggressive enforcement of low-level offenses is necessary to keep the city safe. The City Council here is not necessarily saying that these offenses should not be policed aggressively. What they're trying to do is change the system whereby people who are committing offenses that violate the laws and the codes of the city are sent to civil court rather than criminal court. The last piece of the puzzle is going to rely on agreement between the City Council, the Mayor's Office, and the NYPD over the guidances that are issued by Commissioner Bratton to his officers that dictate when officers will send people committing these low-level nonviolent offenses to the civil system versus the criminal system. And that those guidances have yet to be written. So that's something else to watch out for in the coming weeks. For WBAI, this is Ben Max from Gotham Gazette.
And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. New York parents and politicians are sounding the alarm over advertisers selling e-cigarettes to kids. State Senator Brad Hoyleman has a 5-year-old daughter. He says he wants to protect her and the next generation from Big Tobacco.
It is no surprise that Big Tobacco is targeting them with flavors of e-cigarettes like gummy bears and bubble gum. And let me tell you, she likes gummy bears and she likes bubble gum.
Me too.
But she should not have them in e-cigarettes. And no kid should be tricked into vaping with these types of flavors.
New York City's comptroller Scott Stringer also has a young child, and he too is worried about e-cigarette marketing to kids. He says e-cigarette companies are trying to resurrect tobacco ads from years ago to target children.
18 years ago, we stood up to cigarette companies with the same message. We made them sign an agreement saying that they would not advertise cigarettes to our children. And guess what? Cigarette use by middle and high school students dropped dramatically by a whopping 80%. But today, we're seeing the next generation of nicotine use take off like wildfire. E-cigarettes, the new way for New Yorkers to smoke, minus the ashtray. E-cigarettes are everywhere. And part of the reason is because these new companies have dug a Big Tobacco marketing playbook of 50 years ago. Take a look at the ads up here next to me. Look familiar? They're doing everything cigarette companies were banned from doing 18 years ago. They're sponsoring concerts and sporting events. They're using celebrity endorsements. They're marketing sweet flavors. And they're even using cartoons like Santa Claus to help sell e-cigs. I hate to say it, but their tactics are working. A whopping 70% of American youth have been exposed to e-cigarette advertising.
New York City's public advocate Tish James says the public campaign on the hazards of smoking has been a huge win for public health, but she says we won't turn the clock back. That's why there's a new campaign to protect children against the new fad in town.
They're colorful. They've got flashing lights. They've got seductive slogans, enticing flavors. E-cigarettes. These new form of cigarettes are marketed as the safe alternative to conventional cigarettes because they do not contain tobacco.
Cool.
And unlike traditional cigarettes, which are barred from marketing to children, e-cigs have no ban. And they do not hold back. E-cig marketing is seductive, reeling children in with enticing flavors like peach breeze and vanilla and chocolate. The ads use themes of independence and rebellion. And on every block, a vape store is beckoning our children to try a variety of great flavors.
Hank Williams is an 18-year-old public high school student. He says it's crazy that e-cigarettes targets kids.
For me, I'm not a smoker. I don't like those things, so I try not to participate in it. But I do have friends that smoke. They come, I see them sometimes, I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, you're killing your brain cells. You could be saving that $10 for a sandwich or school supplies.
Yes.
So far, there are no regulations which restrict e-cigarette advertising to minors. Officials want the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, to investigate e-cigarette marketing to kids and determine whether they are in compliance with truth in advertising laws. They also want the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, to regulate e-cigarettes as tobacco products and for the companies to stop kid-focused marketing. And that's the WBAI Evening News for Thursday, January 21st, 2016. The news was produced with help from Ben Max of the Gotham Gazette and Reggie Johnson at WBAI's Brooklyn Studios. For WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry. Thanks for listening. And over to you, Randy. Welcome.